Hello and welcome to this edition of the What in the World is Dyscalculia podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Honora Wall, and the podcast is put on by EduCalc Learning. And you can visit educalclearning.com to learn more about the math learning disorder dyscalculia and see some of the products and services we have for teacher training and for K-12 online classes for people who have dyscalculia. And we can also incorporate those into your school if you'd like to use them in the classroom. If you visit the dtri.org, you can get a lot of free information and resources from the Dyscalculia Training and Research Institute. And those are both places where you can ask questions about dyscalculia, how do you tell the math learning disability from other math struggles, and what you should do to help support students, colleagues, co-workers who have math learning disabilities. Today I want to talk a little bit about testing, though. And I want to talk about the new trend, the up-and-coming, super exciting, everybody's doing it, even the SAT, which I found exceptionally bizarre, the idea of adaptive testing. I am 100% against adaptive testing. I want to make that very clear. So if you are a big fan of adaptive testing, this might be where you turn off this podcast and go listen to something else. I would completely understand, because I can tell you I'm not going to be promoting anything about adaptive testing in this episode. So let's talk about what adaptive testing is. This is a method of testing used predominantly with the students. Now we're seeing it sort of encroach into the higher education space as well. It's very popular in math. I don't know how popular it is in science or social studies or reading. I haven't seen too many reports about that, but in math testing, ooh-wee, it is the shiny new object. So here's what happens in adaptive testing in a nutshell. A computer is coded for test questions, and the questions are coded for difficulty level. And when the student takes the test, if they get an answer right, then their next question is a little bit harder. And if they get an answer wrong, then their next question is a little bit easier. And the idea behind it is that the questions can go up and down in difficulty level, finding a maximum high point for a student. So this sounds wonderful. We have a few problems, though, and a few questions that personally have not seen any answers to. If you are in the world of adaptive testing and you have answers to some of the questions I'm going to pose, please send the information to me. I would love to know more about the coding process in adaptive testing. Because my first question is, what makes a topic easy or difficult? How are we defining that? Now, of course, the generic answer is, we can define difficulty level based on grade level standards. Okay, super. How do we know whether or not a question is designed to interpret or analyze proficiency on a standard? Now, this is a huge question. I do not have time in a podcast series, much less one episode, to answer just that question. The idea of validity and reliability, these are very specific terms when it comes to assessment tools and when it comes to research. And it is not something that can be done off of one question bank, one test writer. The whole purpose of validity and reliability is that something tests exactly what it is supposed to, not anything else, and that it gives equal results across a large group of people. So that brings me to another question. How can we say that any of these adaptive testing tools are yet valid or reliable when they're so brand new? We need so much data before we can rely on the results of adaptive testing that at this point in time, it's really a data gathering tool. It's not an assessment tool. That's my first two questions. My next question is, how do we know whether or not a question is measuring what we want it to do? And this is actually a very involved question. There will be some longer episodes because this has happened a lot in my work with students, and I need to address it in some YouTube videos so I can show you the word problems and the formatting of questions and answers so that we can have a greater discussion. But there are a lot of assessment questions out there that are so convoluted, so dense, they're really testing vocabulary level, they're testing sentence complexity more than they're testing math knowledge, computational or conceptual. Now, this is a problem not only for people with dyscalculia, but also people with dyslexia, people with ADHD, people with dysgraphia, people with different educational backgrounds based on how much vocabulary exposure they may or may not have had at their school. And that happens in all levels of schools, not only low SES, but also any school of any size, because it's really teacher-based as well as curriculum-based. It's very complex. So we need some assessments that will reach a much larger audience, not only the kids who have had tons of exposure to higher level vocabulary and who read incredibly well and who interpret their text very well. We also have a lot of questions that are working backwards. If you know the total volume, how do you work backwards to something? If you know the total of this, how do you work backwards and then use it to find the whatever of something new with a change? And those are great questions. And absolutely, students with dyscalculia are more than capable of answering them if they've had the exposure and the training and the practice and the work to prep for that. But we really don't know that going into assessments. And a lot of math assessments, if you look at them, they don't have a really wide variety of levels. And what I mean by that is, let's say we do have a question where we want the student to take the volume and work backwards to find, let's say, the side or the area of something or the height or the radius of something. Okay, so we need them to use some inverse operations and work properly within a formula. So then a test, adaptive or not, should really test that concept in a variety of ways, with a word problem with higher level vocabulary, with a word problem with more accessible vocabulary, with an image, without an image, with a formula listed, without a formula listed, with a calculator, with numbers that make sense, with a fraction, with a decimal, with whole numbers. That way, you are giving the same topic, the same skill set of finding one particular measurement when given the total volume. And that's what you're searching for. With a variety of question types, then you can decide, all right, this student performed very well with an image. This student performed very well when there was no clutter and they just had a very direct word problem to answer. This student performed very well when they were given information and had to find the total volume. This student worked very well when they had volume and they were finding a side, but maybe they didn't do it as well with radius. Okay, now we understand there's a vocabulary difference or some intimidation with circles. So having one skill set presented through a number of different question types, now we can really find out where the problem may or may not lie for individual students. I have not seen any evidence of adaptive testing approaching assessment in this way, giving one skill set, one topic, and presenting it in different ways to find out, does the student have an issue with word problems, with graphics, with fractions, or is it a problem with understanding how to work the formula? And that is a really important question. And when we're talking about getting a more difficult or less difficult question, because a student got the answer wrong, here's where I really have a problem with adaptive testing. Why did the student get the answer wrong? Now, everyone listening probably has their own idea in their head about why a student got an answer wrong. if we could put you all in a room, you'd all have a different comment on why a student got an answer wrong. And that's exactly the problem. We don't know if the student has never worked with volume. Maybe they don't know their basic facts. Maybe they freaked out at a word problem. Maybe they have terrible anxiety over test taking. Maybe they have a cold today. Maybe their parents are getting divorced or they just moved, or in a lot of places across the country, at any time during the school year, there could have been a hurricane, a tornado, a thunderstorm with hurricane force winds that destroyed something in town. There could be a family medical emergency. All of these things impact performance. Maybe the student got the answer wrong because they hit the 7, but their finger also hit the 4, and they typed in 47 or 74 without realizing it. A lot of these adaptive tests are moving away from multiple choice answers, and they're only giving a blank fill-in answer. Well, then we have no idea if the student rounded incorrectly, estimated improperly. Was the computer program coded to take a variety of answers in case the problem was estimation? Maybe the problem is that the student forgot to hit a decimal point or put it in the wrong place, which is an incredibly different problem than not understanding the math topic at all. So we can give these adaptive tests, but all we know is that we're bouncing children around like ping pong balls. We have no idea why they actually perform the way they did. We don't know where their skills are, where their strengths lie. We don't know what the weakness is or what the problem is if they don't perform well. We don't know if they're just a really excellent guesser. And we don't know if they were just hitting in random answers and happened to do it well enough to score at a certain level. We really have very little understanding of what makes an answer right or wrong. And a lot of that can come from the student, a lot of that can come from the environment, and a lot of that can come from how the computer program was coded. When you create an assessment on a computer, you have to put in the problem and you have to put in the acceptable correct answer. There's a lot of times in math when we round to a near whole number, we round to the nearest tenth or hundredth, and we don't know if the computer was programmed to only round to the whole number or if it was coded to take answers that were rounded to the tenth or hundredth. We don't know if there's any leeway in acceptable answers. And that's a problem. If something is valid and reliable, it doesn't need to be hidden. You can tell people exactly what's going on. You can code for answers that are one digit above or below for an estimating problem, and you could even note that. Do adaptive tests do that? I have no idea, because it's very difficult to find out this kind of information, at least from the places I've looked. As I said, if you happen to be in the world of adaptive testing and you have some more information, please send it my way and I will be happy to share something from the horse's mouth, get it directly from the source, and put that information out there. But when we don't have information, that does not build trust. That does not build validity or reliability if you're hiding something. And that is a real big problem that's been prevalent in math assessments, especially for quite a number of years, especially with state testing, those end of course exams, state-based tests at the end of the year, and now with adaptive testing. I'm very concerned about how this might play out in the world of college-level placement tests. And that problem is that teachers are not supposed to glance at an EOC or a state assessment. Students take that. Teachers are not supposed to know what's on there, not supposed to look at it at all. That's ridiculous. First of all, I find it insulting for educators. We are trained professionals. This is a career choice. This is not something we do on Tuesdays. This is something that we have higher level degrees in and a number of years of training, and we know what we're doing. And also in the world of math, it's just math. There should not be any reason to hide an assessment from a teacher. Teachers should know exactly what their students are going to be expected to do and how they will be asked to do it, because there are very complex differences in a word problem, in presentation, in understanding what is expected and what's the best way to solve a problem. Adaptive testing, especially when you can only see one question at a time, especially when there are no multiple choice answers. Multiple choice answers do make things easier than a fill-in test. And I'm quite sure that's why adaptive tests and other assessments are written that way. However, multiple choice answers also trigger memory. They help people think about their potential answers, the potential problem-solving skills they might need, and then they can determine what is best for a given situation. So not only are we taking away from student guessing, I get that we don't want students to guess. I think it's a little ridiculous because we all guess and estimate all the time. The human brain likes to ask questions, predict, and then confirm. This is how our minds work. So there's no reason why our assessments shouldn't work in the same way. Also, putting students in a situation where they have a few answer choice options can help them think about, okay, how could they get this answer? This one they were adding. This one they didn't combine like terms properly. This one is close, but the decimal points are all in different places. I need to focus on the decimal point. So these are guidelines. The same as using a map, the same as having a sign on a highway that tells you what exits are coming up next. It gives you a frame of reference, and I don't see why that's something we should remove from K-12 students. I don't see how that makes your understanding of math any stronger or any weaker if you prefer to have some guidelines to make sure you're going down the right path. So that's another problem I have with adaptive testing and only fill in the blank testings that are removing multiple choice answers. So in general, I have a lot of concerns about what's happening in the world of assessments. And this is a problem because so many colleges and universities use SAT test scores for acceptance. They use these placement tests to decide what kind of course a student should take. We're using a lot more online-only math courses in higher ed, and we just don't know what's really going on with our students when we do this. It's almost like a weird personification, putting these human abilities onto a computer. And that is just not where we're at, folks. Even if the AI tools made the most amazing adaptive testing situation in the world, until you talk to a student, until you get to know a person as a human being, you're not going to know exactly what happened to make them get a right or a wrong answer. I'm a big fan of technology. I do have online math courses for students. It's not like I'm a Luddite, but I am saying let's make sure that our assessments truly align with the instruction, which is kind of the point of an assessment. It's not to find out whether or not you know how to cook an egg. It's designed to find out whether or not the course you took taught you how to properly make a souffle versus how to properly make a fried egg sandwich, and can you interpret when you should be doing which one based on what someone orders at a restaurant, to use a restaurant analogy. These are complex questions of assessments, but they're mostly complex because we take so much of the humanity out of math assessments. And that's really a problem. At the end of the day, we want students to feel comfortable with numeracy, comfortable with numbers, and comfortable working with formulas. We really want to strengthen pattern recognition and problem solving. So let's focus on making those things happen, and I don't see how adaptive testing is anywhere in the same ballpark as any of those goals that I just mentioned. Now, I'm sure other people have their own opinion, and like I said, if you have some research or some facts and figures to back it up, then I would love to have that conversation. If you do, you can email me, honora@educalclearning.com or honora@thedtri.org. If you are interested in this conversation, let's talk about it some more. You can talk about it with me, with your colleagues, with teachers at the school. I would love if you had this conversation with your local school board members and with your state representatives and your state Department of Education. These are really important questions for us to answer. We do have problems with math awareness and math proficiency. And honestly, we can fix them pretty easily because it's just math. And all humans are hardwired to understand math, even those who have dyscalculia. All people are hardwired to be able to see. And some of us need to wear eyeglasses. And some of us have more extreme vision problems. And we can still use the right tools to have a full, rich, involved life. That is the dyscalculia piece in this whole conversation. We need to understand that some people have a different approach to math understanding and math proficiency. Different doesn't always mean worse. It does in our present school system, but it doesn't have to. Anyway, I got a little off topic there at the end, but adaptive testing, personally, for me, that is a no-go. And I really would like us to have more conversations about creating appropriate math assessments for the people taking the math assessment, not something that looks really good to the people in the company creating the math program. This is Dr. Honora Wall, and I thank you for listening to the What in the World is Dyscalculia podcast, and I hope that you get more involved in a rich conversation about math instruction, math proficiency, and math assessment. It's important. Thanks for listening. I will talk with you again soon.